Black and Family. Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. This is your host, Brother Malcolm, and we have a special, special guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased and honored and grateful that we were able to get this brother. Please give it up for the president and co-founder of Funk Volume, Damian Dame Ritter. What's up, Dame?
What's going on, man? It's an honor to be on the show as well, man. It's definitely a pleasure.
So, Dame, I just want to get right in because there's so much I want to talk about and there's always so little time, and we know that you are busy, and we just want to try and get as much out of you as possible. So, Dame, can you talk to us about the founding of Funk Volume? I know that you yourself are a graduate of UC Berkeley, Go Bears, a graduate of Stanford Business School. What makes someone with that educational pedigree start a hip-hop label?
To be honest, bro, like it kind of happened not on accident, but it wasn't something that I foresaw, you know, definitely going through school. The idea for Funk Volume is actually my business partner, Hobson. You know, he's been an artist for quite some time. He was originally signed to Ruthless Records, I believe in 2006, 2007. You know, but I was actually consulting in 2008. I graduated from Stanford and took a job as a consultant in Chicago, but only lasted about a year and got laid off. You know, and at that time, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. Didn't really want to go back into consulting. But my younger brother, Swizz, who's also an artist on the label, he hit me up, said that he was kind of frustrated. He was going to UC Irvine at the time. School wasn't really his thing, so he wanted to pursue music. You know, it just happened to be good timing because, like I said, I got laid off. I was like, okay, well, I can start helping you out, just trying to, you know, start giving him some direction, so setting up a platform. But then he also had his friend named Hobson, who, like I said, was signed to Rufus Records. And that he was in an equally frustrating position, not going to school, but being signed and the label not really doing much with his music. So they both needed help just kind of getting their music out there. Hobson had the idea for Funk Volume already. He always wanted to start a label. So we all met, talked about music, how the vision we would have for a label, and me bringing my business expertise to the table. Not music, obviously, but, you know, and then bringing the creative to the table, we partnered up, and that was 5 years ago, and we've been just grinding it out ever since.
Grinding it out for me is an understatement. I remember personally being at one of your first shows, some week in Heights, East LA, and my old butt couldn't even stay for the end of the show. But I remember thinking, you know, if Dame is a part of this, this is definitely going to be successful. And I'm so proud of what the label and the artists and, you know, the last show I saw, I believe, was at the Key Club. And then I saw a show you did in Denver. And to see the growth of the company is really, really inspiring. I'm curious, you have some of the hottest names in hip hop right now on the label. Obviously, Hobson, Dizzy Wright, Jaron Benton. You just recently signed producer DJ Hoppo, correct?
Yes. Three producers. DJ Hoppo, Riccio, and a cat named Kato out of Atlanta.
And then you also have Swizz. Can you just talk to us about the intricacies and the challenges and the successes of having, you know, five different artists who are grinding on their own individual merit, but also trying to contribute to the collective success of the label?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I manage all the artists as well, except for Jaron Benton, and that's been quite a challenge just because, you know, coming from a more structured environment, you know, I was in financial services and consulting, and it's a much different environment. It's much more professional. Things are more structured. You know, when you email people, you usually get an email back, call people, get a call back, there's deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. you know, so adjusting to a new environment where that's not really the case was difficult for me at first. You know, but then you have to learn how each artist is different as well and cater to that. You know, each artist has a different goal for what they want out of their career. You know, they have different work ethic. So you have to kind of work with each artist individually in order to progress and move forward. But in terms of like working individually and then collectively as a team, you know, the tie that binds them all, they can all really rap. Like, they're different, and we want different artists, we want different voices, we want to reach a different demographic, because I feel like that's what hip hop intended when it was born, is just to voice your voice, you know, and everybody has different perspectives and experiences, and we want to share that through our music to diversify the sound and everything, so we can reach a broader audience. But the tie that binds them is they can all rap. So when they do come together, it works really well. You know, we have a few songs in which they've collaborated on, you know, and they don't miss a beat. You know, it's very important that everybody that we bring on is talented, and we're not bringing anybody on just to fill a gimmick, you know, or somebody that's not ready, you know, for what we do. So it's very important to us, you know, to continue to grow the label and to strengthen the label that way, so that everybody adds value and pushes the brand forward.
You have an amazing following, and it's a very specific demographic. The shows that I went to seemed like they had primarily a 18 to 25 year old. And possibly younger, I'm sure, but they couldn't get in the club, demographic. And at the Denver show, it looked like the majority of the audience was white. Can you talk about the audiences and what it's been like to develop an audience base for this brand, and who those people are, and did it happen by chance, or is this just who has been drawn to the music, and what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, there's definitely no secret that most folks that come to our shows are white. I think that most consumers of hip hop these days are white. So you're probably going to see that across the board for most hip hop artists, unless you're talking about somebody that's more niche or has a more specific audience, but that's just hip hop these days, you know. So, and it definitely started out that way with Hobson. You know, I think Hobson's fan base kind of originated in the Midwest. You know, in the Midwest, they really supported him. There's a lot of artists that he's compared to that originated in the Midwest or prevalent in the Midwest. So I think that's kind of what initiated that buzz, and then it grew outwards from there. You know, we probably only recently got a local following. You know, the LA shows do really well now, but it definitely didn't start that way. It probably wasn't up until maybe a year and a half ago that we were able to get some local support. But I think with each artist that we bring on, we start to see that their core fan base is a little different. You know, with Dizzy Wright, for example, we started to see more of our Latino fans come out. And again, that's how we designed the label from the jump. It's just great to see that it's finally coming to fruition, because as we bring on different people, we see different people in the audience. And I just hope it continues to do that, because hip hop is for everybody. You know, when I was growing up, there was just such a diverse group of artists, everyone from dance, and you probably would rock with MC Hammer if you're more lyrical, maybe Rakim, Third Base, Vanilla Ice, Fugees, LL Cool J. Like, there was just so many different artists out there, and we're just trying to contribute to that diversity and kind of bring it back, you know, with the internet and artists being able to go direct to fans, We're starting to see that more and more diverse artists, different sounds, and then just like us, able to build a following online without anybody, you know, taking a risk on us or having to prove anything to anybody else except for the fans.
So that's an interesting point you said about the diversity of hip hop. You know, we're the two of us are approximately the same age, and I know oftentimes we're in conversations where either we're dealing with hip hop purists or, you know, people who feel like they've been there since the beginning of the game, and so they feel and they feel that they are either experts or just have this you know, unspoken hold on what the truth of hip hop is. And I'm curious, what would you right. say to our generation about these young cats that you are helping to raise in this industry, about the music they're creating, who they are as people, and sort of what their belief system is? Because I get the sense that a lot of people think, oh, you know, 106 and Park, MTV, you know, that there's no depth to hip-hop now. And I personally believe, and just listening to the music of the funk volume artists, that's not true. But then, I mean, also there are those beats, those hits that are good commercial radio play, and they're party anthems or whatnot. And I'm just curious to know, how do you feel about that, being that you're from a completely different part of the hip-hop generation spectrum, but you're managing people on another part of the spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, I would agree with folks that are my age that there's less of a message relative to, you know, all of the music that's out there or the music that gets played on the radio. You know, so they do have some credibility in saying that because it is the truth. However, you know, there are artists that are coming with a message, that have more creativity, that really know how to rhyme. And I would just encourage the older cats to embrace those artists, as opposed to, you know, just telling the young cats that they don't know anything and, you know, it wasn't like this back in my day, because that's immediately going to put them out of defense because they got egos as well, and then there's no learning involved, you know. So if we're constantly berating the young cats and telling them they don't know what they're doing, they're just going to lash back out and say, well, we don't care, we don't need it, you know, as opposed to maybe embracing them and showing them that what they're doing has roots, you know, and it is important I personally feel that it's important for artists to recognize the cats that have come before them and see kind of, you know, even if they don't realize it, how some of their style has come from something before them, you know. But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, like, they don't need to know to be successful, you know, to connect with the fan. They actually don't need to know, you know. It's great if they do, and if they respect the older cast, you know. So I think that the communication needs to go both ways, you know, just be more, embrace more, as opposed to berate or you know, just call them names or tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. And then there could be some more meeting of the minds. And, you know, I think, you know, the music, I think it will help young people's music if they understand the history.
Well, what's interesting, Dame, is I actually do think that they do know. And even if they don't know, I think that they don't realize that everything is influenced by what came before. Even if you don't listen to every single, you know, greatest lyricist, greatest producer that ever came in hip hop, you don't realize that everything that you're doing has been influenced by the evolution of hip-hop. And that goes with any industry, science. Well, I can't use that as an example, but I'll use artistry as an example, because with science you have to build upon what was there before. But I do believe that for any kind of art, you're building upon what artists have created in the past before you. And whether you vocally or formally recognize their influence on your artistry, there's no doubt that when people and the historians look at your work, you will be criticized against that work. And so I do think these young cats are influenced by it, even if they don't recognize it formally.
For sure, but like some artists aren't. I mean, I'll just, you know, look at our label and give you two examples. Like Hobson honestly does not know about very many artists today or artists that were around when I was coming up. I mean, he knows the artists that he likes, and that's about it. A matter of fact, he had some words for a member of Brand Nubian on Twitter the other day, and he has no idea who he is. Is Hobson still successful? Extremely. So it's not necessary. It would be great, you know, if he did take the time to learn, like, and Dizzy Wright, for example, another artist on our label, he'll take the time and go back and listen to albums that came before him, you know, because he feels like he's got to understand his greats. It's just two different perspectives. I don't think one is right or wrong. It's just when I say, like, do you need to know formally, or do you need to know exactly who came before you in order to reach an audience today? No, but I agree with you. Whether he knows it or not, it came from somewhere. You know, even if it was just the people that influenced the few people that he does know and respect and care about. Yeah.
You have so much going on with the label. I mean, you guys have a community program. I know at one point on Facebook, I was seeing Funk Volume Fitness. You've got the community service arm. You have beats contests. You have you just have a lot going on, and I'm wondering, for you, is that just as important as the artist development, all of the ancillary arms of the company, and why do those feed the company?
I mean, the most important thing is the music, because everything starts with the music. Like, if the music's not successful, then we're not able to do the other things that we're able to do. But things like, you know, Funk Volume in the Community is our community service initiative. And, you know, bro, just because I've always had my hand in some type of community outreach or mentorship or something like that, I feel like it's important, especially for artists, because we have, well, not me, but because the label has so much influence. You know, if you can get kids to see something as cool, you have much more influence on them, you know, to do something positive. So I just think there's an opportunity there to create something bigger than ourselves, and I look forward to it being a much bigger part of what we do as we grow the music and the brand. You know, same thing with Funk Volume Fitness. We all have different interests, and we want to be able to satisfy all of our interests through Funk Volume, and that's the beauty, like, at least for me, of running Funk Volume, is because I have so many different interests. But I feel like, you know, we can run them all through Funk Volume and make them bigger and better. So, you know, whether it's Funk Volume Fitness or in, you know, 5 to 7 years, I want to open up a school. You know, most of it has to do with young folks. And, you know, we do music and our fans are young folks, so it only makes sense. There's so many synergies between, you know, the community outreach and the schools and Funk Volume Fitness. You know, we can have a much greater impact than I could, you know, just on my own trying to do it as, you know, as Dame.
Dame, it's time for the mushy stuff. Can you tell our listeners what is an inspiration in your life, and what keeps you grinding? What keeps you turning it up? What motivates you every day? What keeps you breathing and doing this work day in and day out?
I mean, I think it's primarily the people around me. I've been blessed to have people such as yourself. I mean, the frat has been instrumental in my family, you know, other friends. You know, I got so many people around me doing great things. They're traveling the world. They're doctors, lawyers, Like, I never, that's why I never look at anything I'm doing as that special, because I know people that are doing things way bigger than me, and I know people that aspire to be where I'm at or doing something similar. So it always keeps me level to have, you know, just good people, good energy, good vibes around me, you know, and that's what motivates me. But in terms of Funk Volume, you know, seeing the growth, seeing the fans comment, seeing that we can now make people's day by just retweeting them, you know, I can spend, you know, a second of my time, like, making a person's whole day. Like I said, just by retweeting them or getting Hoffman to sign something or Swizz to sign something, you know, or shaking people's hands at shows. It's crazy to me that we've gotten to this point, because, like you said, you were at those initial shows where, you know, there wasn't that many people there. People didn't really know who we were. So to see the growth and to see the smiles on people's faces when we come around, that's extremely motivating and encouraging to me. You know, so it's just been a blessing, man. It's been stressful, but it's easier to deal and cope with the stress when you're able to see the progress and meet the people that really support what you're doing. And when they express so much appreciation, you know, it's just, it's crazy, man. It's a blessing, you know, when you come to our shows and see the type of things people say, the Funk Volume tattoos, you know, it's real. I never thought that, you know, I'd be running a label, you know, but sometimes you just have to, just when an opportunity presents itself, you just got to attack it. And that's what we've done.
Well, let me tell you, I support you all wholeheartedly, but Negro, unless Hoffman is Jesus Christ himself, niggas not getting a tattoo of anybody that is not the Lord Jesus. No. When I first saw a Funk Volume tattoo and somebody had, like, Hoffman, like, tattoo on their arm, I'm like, do they realize that he's going to be there forever? Okay. Dave, before we get off this call, I just want to give you an opportunity to just talk about anything upcoming. I know you have a documentary coming out. Wondering if you could just talk about that really quickly, give us some dates, and then just give us all of the contact info for people to reach out to Funk Volume.
Sure. So the documentary is a project, man, that I'm really proud of. You know, we have the documentary coming out public November 11th. And what it does is tells the story of Funk Volume and how all the guys came together. Why? And it tells the story while we were on the Funk Volume 2012 tour last year. So it's very entertaining. It's educational. Our fans are looking forward to seeing it. You know, I hope it reaches an audience beyond our fans, because I think it's that great. But November 11th is when it'll come out online, you know, be available via DVD. And then if you just want to reach us, our website is myfunkvolume.com. And then on our social networks, everything /Funk Volume, Twitter /Funk Volume, Facebook the same, Instagram the same. Very easy to get in touch with. Social networking has been the reason why we've been successful. So, yeah, just hit us there.
Well, Dame, I just want to personally say thank you again. And the pride I have watching you and having known you for all these years is a joy unspeakable. And I pray that you continue to stay strengthened and inspired by the work that you do, and that more young brothers come along and pursue something with the tenacity, the rigor, and the professionalism that you do. And I'm proud of you, man. So
I appreciate that, bro. I really do, man. I really do.
And thank you all for joining us for another edition of Culture Connection. As we end every show, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., my frat. And on that note, till next week, peace.